Thank you very much for actually coming down here to listen to the presentation. Over the past years, we've been seeing lots of risk factors tending to drive asthma, including asthma severity at a population level. So what we plan to do is to constantly search for the biologic determinants of asthma itself, the traditional risk factors, moving from air pollution, as the previous presenter just did, to biological markers. And before even getting to that level there, we're trying to see whether or not anatomic variation could drive severity as well as asthma prevalence itself. I've got nothing to disclose at this point here except scientific neutrality. Okay, the purpose of our presentation basically, as epidemiology is evolving, moving from traditional approach to molecular approach, is to try to disentangle race from epidemiologic findings. The fact remains, what does race mean? It's nothing but a surrogate. It reflects geography. It reflects so many variables. It reflects poverty. It reflects insurance. So it's got to a point whereby we believe that race should not be a variable that we should keep on constantly focusing on, because so many things have been beyond the race there. So our intent is to disentangle race in epidemiologic findings. For the purpose of this presentation here, we'd like to look at the background introduction to see, are there biological bases or clinical basis for the involvement of excessive neck circumference in the predisposition to asthma? If that is true, does that very variable predict asthma severity? Then we look at objective, the materials and methods, the results, conclusion, and implication for public health. Public health at this point is challenged to reduce disparities in asthma among children. This challenge here transcends all other challenges, given the fact that asthma is a leading cause of chronic disease and chronic disability among children in this nation. So basically, I'm sure we've got physicians in this room here and non-physicians as well. Asthma has to do with respiratory compromisation, upon which the chest compliance is reduced, implying breathing difficulties. Unless we understand the underlying cause of a disease, medicine is unable to cure, it could treat, it could control. And asthma presents a challenge beyond the regular medical intervention. We are unable to cure asthma because medicine does not understand the underlying cause of asthma. The day we will be able to cure asthma. And this is why asthma becomes an important public health problem, especially when it comes to the pediatric environment. There have been studies that have been done in the U.S. trying to link prevalence to so many factors, including race, ethnicity, sex, poverty, and other socioeconomic factors. The fact remains, we must go beyond the traditional risk markers and traditional biological markers in order to see whether or not we could move very close to definitive cure for asthma. Without which, we will still be treating the condition, and in the absence of specific management involving not only the physician, the patient, the families, and the community. There have been a lot of things lately regarding the double trouble. The double trouble in medicine becomes asthma and obesity. There's been an increased epidemic of obesity in the United States, and over the past 10 years, the prevalence is constantly increasing. Recently, a study had been done by CDC that indicated that for the first time we have observed a reduction in obesity in children 2 to 5, the preschoolers. So this finding here, despite the fact that it's accurate in the total pediatric population, as we stratify this data by race, that conclusion does not hold. Obesity is still increasing among the preschoolers in other subpopulations, predominantly Hispanics and Blacks. This had been one study that looked at prevalence of obesity among asthmatics. I could go into the biologic mechanisms to link obesity to ask my prevalence severity, but time is not going to allow me to do that. However, before I conclude, I'll go into a couple of biologic mechanisms and clinical correlates to indicate why obesity is implicated in asthma severity. And the background here simply indicates that over the past years now, we've been seeing variability in outcomes of emergency division visit, ED, hospitalization, readmission, and mortality keeps on persisting. Comparing black Puerto Ricans and whites, comparing black Puerto Ricans and Asians. So we're constantly seeing all this variability in readmission rate. As we move towards the Affordable Care Act, it comes to the point whereby if we do not reduce the readmission rate, hospitals will be penalized. So public health is challenged at this point here as to addressing disparities in readmission rate in order to improve outcomes of asthma in the pediatric environment. So the data that I've shown that obesity translates to increase in asthma prevalence as well as asthma severity. What we do not know is whether or not neck circumference increases that the risk of asthma itself as well as asthma severity. So this presentation really has been a novel approach for us to in a pediatric environment to see whether or not excessive neck circumference weight accumulating there could translate to the decreased expansion of the chest complex, resulting in difficulties in breathing and constant readmission. So we actually did hypothesize that with increasing weight at the neck region, there should be increasing symptoms and inability for symptoms control. And again, being able to implicate neck circumference is the first direction for us to disentangle race in the racial disparities in asthma prevalence and severity. Our aims are straightforward. We look into the correlation to see whether or not there's a correlation between neck circumference as anatomic and biologic measure of adiposity in terms of adipocyte dysfunctions. And if that is the case, are we able to correlate this with pre-existing measure of fatness or body fat? In this context here, we look at the traditional weight, for example, the weight. We look at the waist circumference in children. We look at weight itself. We look at BMI. If there is a correlation between these two neck circumference and these variables here, then neck circumference could predict excessive neck circumference as it relates to excessive body weight and asthma. Then our next step was to look at association between neck circumference and asthma severity. Here are the variables we studied here. This is hospital-based. I'm sure we've got epidemiologists in this hall here. There's always some kind of a limitation when you're operating with hospital-based data, the clinic-based data. It's like in a clinical trial, while those who form part of the trial are volunteers. At this point, we're going to see how hospital-based data are influenced by the disease bias. So we got to see that. At the same time, the previous presenter said, they use a cross-sectional design which limits temporality and prevents an inferential results to be made. I completely agree with her. Cross-sectional data are limited with respect to temporal sequence. And going back to our own data retrospective, rather than look at temporal sequence as a limitation, they are driven by misclassification and information biases. Caution. In the process of using this kind of data, you should be able to clearly identify error in measurement in order to make sure that you're using accurate data. We had 11 cases with asthma severity based on the guideline of mild, moderate, and severe. We're able to identify 11 patients in our cohort. Based on these 11, we then group matched by age and then identify 44 controls. You guys may ask me, if we've got epidemiologists in this room, why 44 controls instead of 11 controls? The sample size is relatively so small, you can increase your control up to 1:4, but don't go beyond this. You dilute your findings. And then on that group, the sampling, like I said, systematic random sampling was used to identify the controls. These were the measures that I pointed out previously. Access to care, we looked at the type of insurance and the patient language. These are variables that tend to actually produce variability in outcomes. The previous presenter spoke about the confounders. Inability to identify, assess, and test for confounders before the result brings in inconsistent findings and irrelevant for generalization. So we did that. We also looked at the pulmonary function test in looking at the forced expiratory volume to see whether or not variability in this biologic measure could translate into variability in asthma severity itself by race. And the sociodemographic factors we looked at treatment steroid. Because in the first place, as you increase the steroid administration, the chances are that you're increasing the muscle mass. But BMI is a very foolish measure of obesity or adiposity, excuse my language. Unless we are able to identify a more accurate measure of body fatness, will be constantly producing these inconsistent findings with respect to the role played by BMI in various disease conditions. And with respect to analysis, we had our own assumption. I'm going to run. Thanks for reminding. We got our own assumptions. We jumped into assumptions. And from the point of assumptions, we tested them. We ran the correlation and to look at those. And we went into logistic regression model. And finally, to see whether or not we can disentangle age from neck circumference before looking at asthma severity, we run DANOVA, analysis of covariance. Okay, here are results here. I'm going to point this out clearly here. As you would see very quickly, asthma severity was quite common among African Americans. From a clinical perspective, you realize that you're looking at 25% compared to 11% in the white population. That allows for clinical relevance unless a finding is clinically relevant or biologically significant. I'm not interested in the statistical stability. Why? The p-value is not the measure of evidence. It reflects the size of a study, which is of no importance to public health and clinical medicine. Now, we looked into median income, and we realized that median income, the first quartile, basically points to the poverty level. And then the fourth quartile of the wealthy group, you could see there that African Americans were very poor, whites were very rich there, whites were in the fourth quartile. And we also look at private insurance that tends to drive the outcome. You could see at that point that the whites had commercial insurance, while the blacks had Medicaid and poor insurance. We look at the steroid administration were given mostly to whites. Now, here are preliminary findings as well from the continuous variable. The age were comparable. And we look at the first expiratory volume comparable. We also look at the neck circumference. We real African Americans some comparability. And then we looked at the body mass index, and we find that African Americans had a higher body mass index compared to Caucasians. Now, again, we did run the correlation to see what are the traditional measures that correlate with what we're trying to discover here, waist circumference was, body mass was, and weight as well. And we then ran the univariable unconditional logistic model. Here, placing the white at the reference group, you could see basically the prevalence of asthma, and also the body mass index did contribute to that. Private insurance did contribute to that as well. Income did contribute to that as well. And at this point here, it's time to build a multivariable to see whether or not neck circumference increases with age. Inability to standardize and adjust it with age renders your finding meaningless and completely useless. So we standardized this at this point here. And then we finally realized that age and neck circumference significantly predicted the asthma severity in the pediatric population. Potential, we've got small sample size, could be influenced by unmeasured and reserved, confounding as pointed out by the previous presenter. And the study was underpowered, unfortunately, and time did not allow us to really pull in most of these kids here so we could shoot for a larger sample and be definitive with this finding. Caution, these findings cannot be generalized beyond the study population. Stop. The problem in public health is that every day we keep on with sampling, and inappropriate sampling results in insignificant and insufficient results. Public health needs to be consequential, implying that we should stand behind what we publish in order to run effective interventions. Again, unadjusted neck circumference is unrelated to pediatric asthma. Standardized neck circumference is a measure of neck circumference may provide meaningful estimate for body fat, body water, body mass index, weight ratio, and height. In absence of sophisticated equipment, you can use this. You can use neck circumference. It's quite easy to get into Walmart or any store, grab a tape, paper tape, and you can measure neck circumference. Finally, these are our suggestions. As further studies are going to be coming in, prospective studies, we require that neck circumference be measured, and then the kids would be followed for a period of time. We recommend the standardization of neck circumference in order to be able to come down with findings. Larger sample increase the power, encourage you to expand your sample in order to increase your power to detect differences if one really existed. And we also encourage that these studies must be replicated in various populations in order to be able to come up with definitive findings. After replication, we suggest to the World Health Organization Task Force to come down with the clinical guidelines for neck circumference, abnormal and normal. We also recommend that CDC Task Force to come down with clinical guidelines so that we could use neck circumference in order to be able to look at the prognosis for asthma. I did not do this alone. These are all those who were involved in the preparation of these studies here and the generation of the results. These are my colleagues, and again, remarkably, an undergrad in a final year in public health did facilitate the collection and the cleaning of this data. I thank God indeed. And here are all the summer interns who worked on this data last year to facilitate the generation of the results. Thank you. I'd like to